you, Sophie. I mean, it's great. It's great that we can get our salt and light to read God's word. It's also an expression of their faith. You know, something about reading God's word, you know. And I'm so glad that they are able to stand in front of all you. When I was at the age, I think I dare not. What a wonderful. God bless you and your parents. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your words this morning. Your words is true. Your words is powerful. Your words that has been read out is clear and loud. May you speak to each one of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to Matthew chapter 11. John the Baptist is the cousin of Jesus Christ. One thing about John the Baptist's parents, they don't have to worry what their son would be when he grew up. You know, some parents have this worry, what would my son be when he grew up? But not with John the Baptist. Already there was a calling and a destiny already was determined when he was in his mother's womb. He was called and destined to be the one preparing the way for the coming Messiah. He was the voice crying out in the wilderness, and he gave an invitation to the kingdom of heaven. He said, repent of your sin and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Or change your life. God's kingdom is here. John was called John the Baptist, not because he is a Baptist, because he came pronouncing the kingdom. And for those that believe his pronunciation of the kingdom, he baptized them in River Jordan. And the one person that he baptized was Jesus Christ. And when he did baptize Jesus, the heaven opened and the Spirit descended on Jesus. And the Father spoke, this is my dearly loved Son, whom bring me great joy. What a way for God to say about Jesus. If you want to walk like Jesus, walk. Let the Father say of each one of us that I look at your life, I see how you live for me. It bring me great what? Great joy. Great joy. John was always, clearly declaring that he is not the Messiah, but the one making straight the path for the coming Messiah. One day when John was with two of his disciples and when he saw Jesus, he said this to his disciple. His declaration was this, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples stopped following John. They left him and they followed Jesus. What a powerful lesson for leaders. For every leader, whether you are a pastor or you are a powerhouse leader, you know, my question to you is, do the hearer or the listener follow you or follow Jesus? Are you the focus or Jesus is the focus? John never draw men to himself or stop his disciple from following Jesus. He point them to Jesus. And that's what every leader must do. We point people to where? To Jesus Christ. He is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And John make a very personal statement. He made this personal statement about his position. And he said this, Jesus Christ, he must increase, but I must decrease. This is the exciting moment for him to move into the center while I slip off to the sideline. What a way John recognized, what is his destiny? What is his calling? What is his time frame? He knew when to say, I step aside so that Jesus can have the center line. And it's so important for us who are in leadership to know when to step aside. John was fully persuaded that Jesus was who he claimed he was. He announced Jesus. He proclaimed Jesus. He baptized Jesus. And now he is in where? In prison. He's in prison. He's in prison not because he did something wrong. He's in prison because he spoke the truth concerning Herod living an adulterous relationship with his brother's wife. Of course, this is forbidden by God, but when John the Baptist spoke it, Herod got angry. He was offended, so he arrested John and threw him into prison. Later we know because of a dance, John the Baptist was beheaded. We need to realize the prison that John is in is not like the prison in our developed country where you have gym to go to. You have libraries, you have TVs, personal TV, you have phone time, you have even have an opportunity to study for your degree in the prison. But the prison that John was in was dark, was filthy, was underground, hot in the day and cold in the night, and he has poor vegetation. Prison was a dark hole for depression. It was a place where you don't have comfort. It was a place to torture you physically and psychologically to break you into confession. John was in prison because he spoke the truth. Truth can be confounding and offensive to those involved. But we must always speak the truth without what? Without fear of the consequences from men. No matter what the price is to pay, speak the truth with grace, love, and wisdom, and leave the outcome to who? Leave the outcome to God. Jesus spoke the truth. John spoke the truth. His disciples spoke the truth. So must we if we are to walk as Jesus walked. In prison is a good time to think. How many of you realize that? It's a good time for reflection. In prison, John began to reflect on his announcement about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. His proclamation about the kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus, the Messiah, is pictured as a suffering servant in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrow. But yet, he is also called in Zechariah 14 as the King of Glory, a picture that will bring deliverance and the one with political power and will bring destruction to the enemy of Israel. There, John begins to think about that. The nation of Israel, like John, has been long looking, earnestly praying and patiently waiting for the promised Messiah. That one day the Messiah will come to restore Israel. Will come to restore Israel to the time of the glory of King David. And that they would be free from their oppressor. The Roman Empire will be defeated. Has this happened? It has not happened. John has faithfully fulfilled his calling and destiny. He did his work with distinction. And instead of great reward from God for his labor, where was he? He was in prison and soon to be executed. His expectation of what God would do for him and for Israel was not met. This morning, from chapter 11, I want to speak of unmet expectations. Unmet expectation. We all have expectation. All of us sitting here. Expectation of ourselves. Have you ever? I hope I could have be this. I dream to be this. I want to be this. We have expectation on ourselves. Expectation on our friends, our children, our employer. And not forgetting our spouse. If we are married, we have expectation. When expectation is met, we feel great, fulfilled, and happy. But unmet expectation, and we have unmet expectation. Sometimes our expectations are not met because the other party do not know what we expect. How many of you realize that? We think that they should know, but they do not know. So when expectations are not met, it causes anger, conflict, frustration, and in fact, unmet expectations is the silent killer of friendship and relationship. How many of you here sitting this morning have unmet expectation? Put up your hand. Come on, put up your hand. We all have that. We know the pain of unmet expectation. This is what Jesus said. This is how Jesus put it. What do you expect to see when you went out to see him, John the Baptist, in the wilderness? You did not expect to see John the Baptist dressed like a rich man living in the palace. Rather, you expect to see a man living in a wilderness, clothed made with camel hair, a leather belt around his waist. This is what you expect to see John. And Jesus said, he met your expectation. But what happened? What happened when expectation is not met? This is what Jesus said in verse 16 to verse 19. But to what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in a marketplace and calling to their companion and saying, we played the flute for you, but you did not dance. We mourned to you, but you did not remain. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, he has a demon. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collector and sinner. But wisdom is justified by her children. Expectation. I did this, but you did not. Expectation. I played the flute, but you did not dance. I mourned, but you did not remain. People expect God to do what they think and what they want. How many of you realize that? John the Baptist, you know, he came and he was declared not friendly enough because he do not what? He did not eat and drink with them. Jesus came directly opposite. He is claimed to be the Messiah, but he is what? He is too what? Too friendly. Too friendly. He eat and drink with sinner. So when they look at John and they look at Jesus and they say, they did not meet our expectation this time. Human expectation of God range from, if God is love, why would he send people to hell? Have you heard of that before? If God is good, why is there evil and injustice in our world? They look at the trouble in our world, the pandemic, the natural disaster, the suffering in our world, and they say, where is God in all this? God did not do what they think or want. Unmet expectation. Jesus said, this generation, not just this generation, and every generation in their pridefulness expect God to do what they want, how they feel, and what suits them. How many of you realize that? God did not do what I want. This is making God into their image and likeness. When God does not do what they expect in their unmet expectation, they judge and question, is there a God? Do I need God? But when God does everything they want, then he is not God. He's a what? He's a puppet. A puppet to their liking, making, and wishes. To those with unmet expectation and justify their standing about God, this is what Jesus said. But wisdom is justified by her children. Simply means, look at the result that comes from their action, from their decision, from their how they derive about what they think of God when their expectations are not met. Look at how their life is, what it produces. Because Jesus talked about that in verse 20 to 24. He rebuked the city that reject him and did not repent because he did not meet all their expectations. In their unmet expectation, instead of seeing God and what he has done, his mighty work, and repent, they see what God has not done. What is the outcome of their decision? It was judgment. Judgment. the world look at God and say, God, you do not live according to what I expect you to do. How many of you have heard people say that? Therefore, they reject God. They don't want to have anything to do with God. What about Christian? Christian with unmet expectation. Do you have? For Christian, when our expectations are not met, we must keep on trusting God, trusting His character, trusting His word, trusting His promise, because the Bible is filled with unmet expectation. Mary and Martha expect Jesus to come straight away when he received the news that Lazarus, their brother, was sick and dying. Jesus, come straight away. I need you. I expect you to be here. But we know that Jesus took his time. Jesus delayed, and then he came after Lazarus died. What did the two sisters say? Lord, if only you had been here, it is too late. Our brother died. Unmet expectation. How about the two men on the road of Emmaus? They expect Jesus, who did powerful miracle, a mighty teacher, the promised Messiah, would rescue Israel, free Israel, and restore Israel. And they expect Jesus to do it. But what happened to Jesus? He died on the cross. Unmet expectation. Do you have unmet expectation? Unmet expectation is like hope deferred. And the Bible tells us, hope deferred sickened the heart. How many of you have been there? You are hoping and hoping, and it never happened. Your heart gets sick. We all have been there. We all have been there, and some of us has not recovered and still struggling with unmet expectations. Seems so far out of reach, never seems to happen. I believe and keep believing. I pray and pray. I wait and wait. I work hard and harder, but it seems so far out of reach, never came. It did not happen. Unmet expectation. John is in prison, isolation. People with unmet expectation, caught in it, always want to what? Isolate themselves. And what he expect did not happen, did not help him. It only caused what? It only caused John to doubt God and to doubt who? Doubt himself. Doubt is something that fills his mind with why, where, how, who. And doubt is the opposite of what? Believe and faith. When you believe, you're placing your trust in God for who he is and what he said. But doubt is questioning what? Doubt is questioning your belief. Have you ever questioned what you believe? Struggling with what you believe because it did not happen? Doubt is also called double-minded. Having two minds, having two hearts, and being tossed left and right, high and low, like the wave in the sea. Once John the Baptist was so steadfast, so sure, so secure of who Jesus was, the long-awaited Messiah. He was destined to prepare the way for the coming Messiah. But now in prison, things did not go his way. Things did not happen as he proclaimed. The number one enemy of faith is I believe. The one, remember, one enemy of faith is what? Is doubt. having two minds and two hearts. And John doubt about Jesus. Are you the one? Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? For us who are sitting here, there are times when life did not turn out as we expect. God did not seem to do everything about anything about it. When doubt bombard your mind with this question, does God really care? And it's not something that only young Christians struggle. Even old Christians can struggle with it. Does God really care? Does God really love me? Does God hear me? Does all things work out together for good in God? Can God meet all my need? Is God really able to do anything and everything? If He is, why is He not doing anything? Have you ever felt that way before? Come on, have you ever felt that way before? When doubt hits you, I call you, don't entertain it. Don't allow the emotion, the feeling, the thoughts, and the question of doubt to reside in you. But rather, overcome doubt with what? Faith and belief. Choose faith over doubt. Trust over doubt. Believe over doubt. Because the Bible tells us that God is not a man, so He does not lie. He is not human, so He does not change His mind. Has He ever spoken and act and fear to act? Has He ever promised and not carry out? Number 23, verse 19. How did John the Baptist, one time it was so sure and certain, how did he ever sink into doubt? I'll tell you, there are three reasons I can think of. And these are the three reasons that we all have to watch out. The three reasons why John fell into doubt. First is discouragement. Second is disappointment. Third is disillusionment. And we all can be there. On discouragement, discouragement is one of Satan's greatest use tools against believers. John was used to the wilderness of space and freedom. And now he's in the cold, locked away prison. He could not change his situation or where he was. No escape, no way out. Do not know how long he would be there. He became discouraged. Discouraged is to lose courage. Have you ever lose courage? Lose courage to believe? Lose courage to hope? John was in the place. He became discouraged. He lost courage and doubt everything he knew and believed. That can easily happen to us. Discouragement is Satan's greatest tool. Do not be discouraged. The Bible always calls us, be what? Courage. Have courage. Take courage. Because God knows that when we lose courage, we will lose sight. And we begin to what? To fear and down. Second was disappointment. Jesus was in his hometown, in the synagogue, and he read Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim release to captive, to set those who are oppressed. And Jesus finished reading the scripture saying this, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. Disappointment. Maybe John imagined that Jesus would come and set him free. After all, he was the Messiah. He possessed the scepter of David. He has all the power and authority. Jesus could do anything for John in the prison. But John was still in the prison. He was not rescued. And he became disappointed and began to doubt. After all, one of the ministry of the Messiah is to open prison doors. Have you ever entertained this thought? Maybe you are not like me. Lord, you did this for so and so. You move the mountains for them. You part the sea for them. I don't understand why you won't do it for me. Come on, have you ever had that thought before? You see, it is this thought that leads to what? Disappointment. And disappointment leads to what? Doubt. Third one, disillusionment. In prison, John heard about the work of Jesus, but he was waiting for the big day, the big event, the big news that will come when someone will say to him and report to him, John, Jesus is the Messiah as you declare. He is not only healed the sick, raised the dead, and caused the blind to see, but he is about to attack Rome to set us free. After all, that was what John and the Israelites had been waiting for, but it never came. Hope deferred, unexpected, unmet expectation lead to disillusionment. You know, when you have doubt, you are discouraged, you are disappointed, and you are disillusioned. It brought John to the lowest point of his life. That place is called the dark night of the soul. A poem written by a Spanish priest named Saint John of the Cross. John was in that place, the dark night of his soul, because he saw himself, through his own eyes of self-doubt. John saw himself, I have expectation, it is not met, it is not fulfilled. I have things that I want to achieve and accomplish, it has not been done. I have lost confidence. Have you ever been there before? A few years ago, I was in that place. And I know how hard it is. Nobody knows. Beside my wife and Pastor Kara. But I'm telling you, when you are in that place, it is a deep hole. It is a deep hole. Because the trouble with John is that he saw himself in himself, instead of seeing himself through the eyes of God. When you see yourself through yourself, through your own perspective, through your own eyes, through your own spectacles, I'm telling you, you will be discouraged, you will be disappointed. You need to see yourself the way God sees you. Because God's perspective of you is different. Don't see yourself the way the devil sees you, because the devil is not here to give you a good word about you. And if he does, it's not for good. It's for evil. See, your eyes can be blind and blur, but you need to see yourself through the eyes of God, because God is light. His eyes is clear as sunshine. One thing, when John sent his disciple to Jesus, Jesus never condemned or rebuked John for his doubt. Rather, Jesus said this to those who are listening. He said, how important is John and his ministry? In fact, Jesus said that John is more than a mighty prophet. Not only he fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi 3:1, but he said about John that he has faithfully served as one preparing the way for the Messiah. It is through John preaching that the kingdom of God moved forward. Many repented and believed and was baptized into the kingdom. It was through John the Baptist, through his preaching, that the kingdom of God advanced forcefully. That the blind see, the lame walk, The lepers are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised to life. And the good news is being preached to the poor. In fact, the Bible tells us it's through John preaching that Jesus sent 70 of them out, and they came back reporting that even demons obey them because of Jesus' name. You see, John did not see what he has accomplished through the eyes of God. He just saw what he has accomplished through himself. And now in himself, where is he? He is in prison. He became discouraged. He doubted. And he was disappointed. And one other thing, when I read this verse, is the affirmation that Jesus said about John. And Jesus also said to each one of us that are here, I tell you the truth, of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he. I think, and I believe I'm the least person. How about you? And yet the encouragement that God gives to each one of us, even if you see yourself the least person, the least important, the least needed, God say, you're greater than John the Baptist. Say, thank you, Lord. I think we need to see how God sees us. Because many times when we see ourselves, we hit ourselves too hard. And when we hit ourselves too hard, we become discouraged, we become disappointed. Then we hit ourselves so hard that we lose the ability to believe what God can do through us. Be encouraged. The least person in God's kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. God is no respectable person. He values and loves each one of us, even with our flaw and imperfection. The encouragement of Jesus to everyone who's caught and trapped with unmet expectation is, blessed are those who do not turn away because of me. Nothing must turn you away or separate you from the love of God. Say amen. Doubt? No. Discouragement? No. Disappointment? No. Disillusionment? No. No matter what, I'm going to hold fast, unwavering, unswerving to faith, hope, and love to the very end. Nothing. Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended. I'm sure you have questions, just like me, that God has not answered. You have need, just like me, that God has not met. You have expectation, just like me, that God has not met. And Jesus said, blessed are those who are not offended, who have not turned away, who have not given up, but holding on. John was in the dark night of his soul. Another of God's prophets, Elijah, he also experienced the dark night of the soul. And then you have Job. He was also in that place. You know, when Job was in the dark night of his soul, the friend came and counseled him. The three of his friends, instead of counseling him, they make him feel worse. How many realize that? They make him feel condemned. My question to you, are they in the dark night of their soul because they have sinned? Because they have hidden sin or unconfessed sin? No. Why are they in the dark night of their soul? Let me tell you something about life. The greater is the expectation. The greater is the joy when it's met. How many realize that? You have high expectation when it's met, you are happy. But also remember that the greater is the expectation. When he is not met, the deeper is the hole. This is what happened. Not because they have sin or unconfessed sin, because when you have high expectation of God, that God will do this for you, and it did not happen, the greater is the hole that you fall into. Elijah, He has a great victory at Mount Carmel. He slain 450 false prophets, and he prayed for rain, and rain came down on a dry and thirsty land that has no rain for 3 years. Instead of rejoicing and being high in spirit, Elijah fell into deep depression and discouragement, the dark night of the soul. It was so bad that he withdrew himself from the outside world and hide in the cave. He ate and sleep. Till God asked him, "Why are you here?" If you are caught and still in that dark hole, God is saying to you, "Why are you here?" And sometimes when you are in the dark hole, I'm telling you, no one can take you out. God cannot even take you out. You yourself have to pick yourself up. How many realize that? You have to pick yourself up with the power and the encouragement and the strength of God. Because if you don't pick yourself up, nobody can get you up. And I've seen people in that hole and they never get out of it. But I'm telling you, don't stay in that hole. It's not because you have sin or you have hidden sin. It's because greater is your expectation when it's not met. Greater is the what? Deeper is the hole. And then when God asked Elijah, "Why are you here?" He said, "Lord, I'm discouraged. I'm the only one left. My life is in danger." When Elijah was in the dark night of his soul, it was not the strong blowing wind or the shaking earthquake. It is not the burning fire. It was the quiet and gentle whisper that got him out of it. Earthquake, wind, and fire can keep you away, but a gentle whisper, you need to what? When someone whispers, what do you need to do? You need to draw near in order to hear. I'm glad that John the Baptist did not send his disciple to any place. He sent them to Jesus. Jesus, who is compassionate and caring, is able with his gentle whisper give recovery to the doubters, to the discourager, the disappointed, the disillusioner of unmet expectation. Today, Jesus whispered his three-step invitation to recovery. "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." The first step to recovery is come to Jesus. You start your journey with him. Now continue and finish your journey with him, because he is humble and gentle in heart, never condemning, never criticizing, never judgmental of you, but gentle in word, spirit, and heart. And he promises rest for your soul, to refresh and renew your soul. First, come to me. Second step, take his yoke. His yoke, what you are called to be and to do, is easy. Say amen. Not only is easy, it's useful, it's good, not harsh, not sharp, not pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. His yoke is great and good when you depend not on yourself, not on DIY or your performance, but on his power. Jesus said, "My burden, what I call you to do, is easy. My burden, what you're carrying in your heart and mind, is light as you cast them to him." Third step to recovery is learn from him by following him as his disciple.
There are things that you don't understand about unmet expectation. But you must learn to what? Learn to trust God. Learn to trust God when you don't have answer. Learn to trust God when the answer is not what you want. Because God does not operate like you. He is God. His thoughts and His ways are higher than you. He's all-knowing, all-wisdom, all-present, and all-powerful. And I have to come to the place myself when I was in the dark night of the soul to learn to just trust God. God, you are God. There are questions in life of what I'm doing or what I want to see is not happening. But God, you are God. Secondly, learn is God's prerogative to reveal or not to reveal. How many of you realize that? Because Jesus made this prayer, "O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding those things from those who think themselves wise and clever, and for revealing those to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleases you to do it this way." God Himself choose to reveal or not to reveal. He's God. And when He does not reveal, then faith and obedience must overcome doubt and disobedience. Trust God for things you cannot see or understand. Most of us sitting here, we are more caught up, and our focus is more about this present moment. How many realize that? But God's focus is what? Eternity. And you are just, don't get angry with me, you are just a speck of His eternal purpose. How many realize that? It's not about you. It was never about you. It's always about God and God alone. We are here to live for His purpose, not God fulfilling our purpose. How many realize that? Hello? If you want a God that just fulfill your purpose and your liking, there's only one place to go to. Only one place to go to. That's where my mother went to when she was a non-believer. She went to the temple. She went to the temple. Everything she asked is this idol to fulfill what she wants for herself, her family. But God is not here to fulfill. He is here so that you fulfill His eternal purpose. Say amen to that. The invitation of Jesus is still fresh and rewarding to those who are willing to come to Him. And the message put it this way. This is how the message put it. Come to me. Get away with me. Connection. And you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Fellowship. And walk with me. Partnership. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I will not lay anything heavy or ill-feeling on you. Keep company with me, companionship, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. When you come to Him, take His yoke, learn from Him, and the Bible promises you will fly like an eagle catching the wind of the unforced rhythm of grace. You will soar up, soar higher, soar further in the sky. You will be free, easy, free and light. Just remember, I have expectation. God has not met all the expectation. He is God. Therefore, I rejoice. And when you have that, you will be happier with life. How many of you realize that? So do not get caught or trapped with your unmet expectation. Come to Jesus, take His yoke, and learn from Him. Why don't we bow our head this morning? Are you trapped? Are you caught in unmet expectation? Not just expectation from God, but expectation of people. It's a thing that steals your joy. If you're not careful, it is a silent killer. This morning, with all the unmet expectation that is brewing in your mind and your heart, will you hand them over to Jesus? Will you hand them to Jesus and say, God, I expect this did not happen, but I'm going to trust you that you are God, you know what is best. Will you hand it to Jesus to believe that all things will work out together for good? I know it's not happening yet, but I have to believe, because I only have God, no others. In your unmet expectation, don't fall into a dark hole. Today, reject doubt. Reject discouragement. Reject disappointment. Reject all this and say, God, I choose to trust. To trust your word. To trust your character. To trust your promises of God. Because God, I know I'm human. I am nothing but clay. Weak. But you are God Almighty. The Almighty God that I can trust you. This morning, put up your hand as you will release your unmet expectation to God this morning. How many of you will lift your hand and say, God, I release it to you. I'm not going to allow it to eat me up. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let go of it, God. Because God, you are God. And I know, God, you have the best interest of me in your heart. I'm just going to trust you, God. Unmet expectation, God. I don't want to be in the deep hole. I want to be free. I want to be light. Father, you see those hands that raised before you this morning, O God. We ask for your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that will come to touch every heart, every hand that raised before you, O God. The Lord, that through your mighty act, your mighty hand, that you will lift us out of the hole and set us on a firm ground, on a solid ground. Because God, we believe that you are God, that you are good, O God, that what has not happened, Lord, you know what is best. So Lord, we want to be set free. And we want to keep trusting, keep believing, keep hoping, keep our eyes on you. Lord, I ask today, as we cast our burden upon you, we thank you, Lord, that you say in your words, to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. Lord, I pray today, lift the burden that is on the back of individual that is here. Lift it up, O God, for you do not come to judge or to condemn. You come to give the gentle whisper that you will give rest. You will refresh the soul that comes to you. So I ask, Lord, do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.